Begin the current daf Masechta Bava Basra daf Pei Aleph. Begin on the third line down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which is related to the larger theme of this Perek regarding when someone sells or buys something that's unspecified, what's included in that sale or purchase. On that, our Mishnah continues with a Machlikis that we've mentioned previously on daf Ayin Aleph and other places regarding Machlikis Ramei and Rabbanan. Says the Mishnah, if someone purchases two trees in someone else's field, meaning someone else owns the field and there's trees inside, and this guy buys the trees, and he buys it unspecified, not specifying what else is included in that sale. So says the Tanakama, Harezu loy kana karka. So the purchaser has not acquired the land that's around the trees at all. Even the space of where the tree is growing on, that land, he has not acquired the rights to. And it's essentially like he acquired the rights of the tree for the purpose and utility of its fruits. But when it dries up, then the tree gets uprooted and he has to leave. He doesn't have any of the rights of the land at all. That's the Tanakama. Remei Omer, he disagrees. He says, no, kana karka, that the buyer of the two trees has acquired the land. And the reason for that is he considers two trees as if it's a sadeh ilon, which is when you have an orchard, which is considered a certain amount of trees in a certain amount of area, that's considered like you bought not just two trees, but a field of trees. And therefore you get the land included in the purchase of the trees too. Now the Mishnah explains the ramifications of the Tanakama, the Rabbanan's opinion. According to the Tanakama, that this purchaser doesn't get any land around it. All he's getting is the tree itself. Higdilu, so therefore if the trees grow a lot, meaning that their branches widen a lot, then lo yishape, then the owner of the land, the seller, is not allowed to cut and chop down those branches. Even though now that the branches are leaning over onto his irrigated field where the shade of the tree is actually harmful for the field, but since the owner of the tree, the purchaser who purchased these two trees, doesn't have any right to the land itself, so essentially it's obvious that the owner of the land was meshabed, he made it obligated, his field, for the purpose of the trees, whatever it's necessary, and that's the whole purpose why he bought it, meaning obviously not just buying the trees. The trees nourish us from somewhere. So if he's not getting any land, none of the land is his own, obviously that means to say, but he has rights to the land in how they're meshubit to the tree. So therefore, even though they're growing out and ruining the field, doesn't make a difference. You gave him the rights of the trees that are going to affect and that he has the right to get to it through the field itself. And therefore, the owner of the field is not allowed to chop down the branches. Now, v'ho'ilam in ageza, whatever grows out of the trunk of the tree itself, which Gemara will explain what this refers to, then that's shaloi, that belongs to the consumer, to the owner of the trees, because it's coming out of the tree itself, which that he bought. He doesn't have any land, but the tree itself, the trunk is his. Now, umin asherashim, but if something is growing out of the roots, that shalbala karka. That goes to the owner of the land, to the seller, because since it's coming out from beneath the ground, so it's coming out from his ground, so although it's coming out from the roots, but that's considered from the land, and therefore the owner of the land gets it, not the one who bought the trees. Now, v'meisui, if the trees die, meaning that they dry up, then ein lo karka. Then the purchaser doesn't have any ownership in the land itself to go ahead and plant a new tree in that place. Again, this is all going according to the opinion of Tanakama that when he buys two trees, it's considered two independent trees and you don't have any rights to the land around it. But says the Mishnah, Kana Shleisha, but everyone agrees if the purchaser bought three trees, then Kana Karka, then he has acquired the land around the two because three trees are already considered enough of what's called a Stei Ilon to be an orchard. Now the Gemara will explain that how much land does he get? How do the trees have to be planted that they combine to be these three trees to create a state ilan, to create an orchard that he gets the land around it? But that's the halacha. If he purchases three trees, he gets the land. Now, here it's inversely related, higdilui. So therefore, if the tree grows a lot and the branches expand out of the area of what he gets for his stei ilon, I mean, he gets a little patch in that guy's field that he gets the land because stei ilon. But now let's say if the branches extend outward into the part that's from the seller's land, then yeshapa. Then actually the seller could cut those branches because since where they're planted, they're not planted in the seller's land, rather in the purchaser's land, because like we said, he gets land in that situation. So therefore, it comes out that the seller never was meshabed his own land to the trees, because he gave him land for his trees. So therefore, he doesn't allow it to come into his own land because it's going to harm it, as we said, because of the shade. So then actually, then he is allowed to trim those branches. Now, in this case, whatever grows out of the tree, whether it be from the trunk or whether it be from the roots, it all goes to the purchaser because the land there, in that case of three trees, is his anyway. And if the tree dies, he has the land, again, because he bought three trees that makes his te'ilah, the land is his too, and he could go out and plant a new tree. Now, the Gemara brings, Tznan Hasa, we learned over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Bikurim, similarly, the same exact machlokes, Tanakam and Rameyer, over here in our Mishnah, the same thing in a different context in the halachas of Bikurim, which the halacha of Bikurim is that the first fruits of the Shibas Aminim and Eretz Yisrael have to be brought up and given to the Kohen. So the Mishnah says, if someone purchases two trees, same case as our Mishnah, which our Mishnah was talking about the acquisition of the tree and land or no land, and this context is talking about regarding Bikurim. If someone buys two trees in someone else's field, says the Tanakam of the Rabbanan, maybe the Inukar. So he brings the Bikurim, he brings the first fruits, but he does not recite the special parsha that said, he doesn't say the parsha of Bikurim. The reason for that is, because since he only bought two trees, he has not acquired the land. And therefore it doesn't fall into the context of what the Chiyuv Bikurim is that says in the Pasuk in Devarim Chavav, that a person is supposed to say, Priha Dama Asher Nasatali. It's the fruits of the land that you gave me because it's not his land. He doesn't have any land. All he has are trees that fruits come out of it, which Gemara actually is going to ask later on. So then why does he even bring Bikurim in the first place if it's not Ha Dama Asher Nasatali? But at least the Tanakhama says that he doesn't recite the Pasha of Bikurim. Remeyar, I mean, he disagrees. He says, no, maybe Vekairi. He brings the Bikurim and he says the parasha of Bikurim, and this is Remei according to his opinion in our Mishnah, because he holds that even when you buy only two trees, you acquire the land beneath it. But yes, by one tree, Remei would agree that since there it's for sure not a stay Elon, even according to Remei, that then you wouldn't recite the parasha of Bikurim. Now, however, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol, he says that actually Machayev HaRemeir, Remei obligated to bring Bikurim, even when someone buys the fruits of a tree, min hashuk, from the marketplace. Mean to say he actually had no land whatsoever. The halacha is that the first fruits they're ripened, so what they would do is they would tie a string around it to know which one's the first fruits. If this guy goes to the marketplace and he finds that has that gemi, a certain type of reed that's tied around it, and he buys it, so that's the bikurim. So he has to go ahead and bring those fruits as bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash to give it to the kohen. Now, as Rashbam alerts, although in that machlekes in Mishnah Masechtas Bikurim, even seemingly Remei agrees that the halacha is tomat only by hakoinish ne'elonis, because according to the Tanakhama, you don't recite. Sounds like that Remei would hold that you only recite if you purchase two trees, which would sound like the way we're interpreting in our Mishnah, because then you acquire land, but not like the way Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel is saying that even if you have no land, even if you just buy the fruits of Bikurim, you have to bring it. And that says Rashbam that no, according to the interpretation of Yehuda Mishmuel, that was only said because of the opinion of the Rabbanan. But you're right, according to a mayor, even by one tree, even when he has no land, he would bring it and he would recite the Parsha Bikurim, because even if he just buys it from the marketplace, he would have to go ahead and bring those fruits as Bikurim, and he don't have to have ownership in the land at all. And says the Gemara Mimai, from where does Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel know this halacha from? Mediktani Mishnah Yisarif, and the fact that we have seemingly a superfluous Mishnah Masechtas Bikurim, because Mechti, let's see. Tana Lei, we learned over here in our Mishnah, Dieshli Karka. Remei already said in our Mishnah that when someone buys two trees, he acquires the land beneath the two. So Pshita de Mevi Makar, of course I would know that then halachically the manifestation would be that if when you have these two trees, that you would bring it as Bikurim and say the Parsha Bikurim, because it's your land. So what do we learn from that? Why do we have to have it repeated in that Mishnah Masechtas Bikurim? To tell you, actually, it extends even further. The Mechayev HaRemeir may hold the person is obligated to bring a Bikurim of the first fruits, even if he just buys the fruits from the marketplace. Now, so therefore, now the interpretation now turns out in the Mishnah Masechtas Bikurim that what Remeir was saying was as follows, that even if it is like your opinion, not like me, that a person does have to have rights in the land to be able to say the Parsha Bikurim, but that's what you're saying, that by two trees that you don't have land. Even so, that's what Remei was saying, that a person should bring the Bikurim and recite it, because he's saying actually that there is no concern for Karka by Mikra Bikurim. So in other words, what he was talking about was, although they spoke about a case of Koinishne Ilanis was because you hold by Koinishne Ilanis and the person doesn't have karka, on that Rameir is saying, even so, you don't have to have any rights in the land to be able to go ahead and recite the Pasha of Bikur. That's how Yehuda Mishmuel explains the opinion of Rameir. Because if it was, as we learn in our Mishnah, then why say it redundantly in that Mishnah Masechta Bikur? Now, however, on this interpretation of Rameir's opinion, according to Yehuda Mishmuel, the Gemara asks, but Foksif, the Pasuk in the Varm says, Asher Tavi Me'artzecha, that you have to bring Mikurim from the fruits that you bring from your land. But someone that buys the fruits shouldn't bring and should not recite the Parsha, because it's not from your land, it's from someone else's land. And that says the Gemara, no, Me'artzecha doesn't mean your specific individual land. Ha'hula Mu'utei Chutzla'aretz, that's coming to exclude out of Eretz Yisrael. Artzecha, your land, means the larger land of that of Eretz Yisrael. That's where Bikurim is from, and not from out of Eretz Yisrael. But the Gemara still asks, well, except there's a pasuk in Shemais that says Admascha, says Reishis Bikur Admascha Tavi, that the first of your ripe fruits of your land you should bring. So you see, it has to be Admascha. So the Gemara, no, that's Lamuti Admas Akum. That's coming to exclude the land of a non-Jew. And that is, if a non-Jew has land in Eretz Yisrael and the Jew buys fruits from him, the first fruits, he does not have to bring Bikurim from it. Now, actually, the Rashbam holds that there is a girsa that says, but it says in the pasuk two times Admascha. It says Reishis Bikur Admascha in Sefer Shmais in Ve'ela Hamishpatim, and it says in Parshas Kisisa. On that, the Gemara, according to the girsa of the Rashbam, answers that one is, like we learn now, Gemara is excluding Admas Akam, land that's owned by a non-Jew, and the Jew buys those first fruits from him, and one is excluding the land of a ger, of a convert. Because a ger is one of those people, as the Mishnah teaches Masechtas Bikurim, that he brings Bikurim, but he doesn't recite the Parsha of Bikurim. Now, the reason why he does not recite the Parsha, even though he owns the land, is because he cannot say, Asher Nishba L'Abiseinu Lo Salonu, that he swore to our fathers to give it to us, because his fathers were not Jews. Now, and that's what this Pasuk of Admascha, the second one, is coming to exclude, that someone that buys fruits from the land of a ger, he does not bring or recite. But either way, it's not difficult on this interpretation of Shmuel, because Admascha is coming to exclude not that you have to own it yourself, but not if it's a non-Jew's land or a ger's land. But the Gemara still asks, but Vaksiv, there's a pasuk in the Varm that says, Asher Nasato Li, that you gave to me. That you can't interpret in the more general. It's individually that he says, you gave to me this land that I'm bringing the fruits from. And that's the Gemara. No, the Havis Li Zuzi. It means that, what you give me? You gave me money, Bezavani Behu, and with that money I bought from the fruits of the land. And that makes sense, even if he bought the Paris from Nashuk. But the Gemara asked, Masav Rabba. Rabba asked conclusively on this interpretation of Yehuda Mishmuel. A brisa says clearly, Hakoina Elon Echad Betech Shechaveroi. If someone buys only one tree in his friend's field, maybe Ve'ena Kairi, he brings Bikurim, but he does not recite the Parsha Bikurim. Why? Lefish Leikana Karka. Everyone agrees that by one tree you have not acquired the land. Divrei Reb Meir. We see clearly, even the opinion of Reb Meir, that the only reason why he holds in that Mishnah Masechtas Bikurim that you're going to bring and recite the Parsha of Bikurim is because you acquired the land beneath it. But when there's one tree, you're going to bring it, you're not going to recite Bikurim. Says the Gemara Tiyufta, that's a refutation of Yehuda Mishmuel, who said you don't have to own any land, and he proved it from the fact that it's redundant to say that Mishnah too. And must be, even if you just buy the fruits, you're going to go ahead and bring it and say Parsha Bikurim. We see clearly that's not the case. Rameir agrees to the concept you have to own the land to recite the Parsha Bikurim. The whole machlekes he had with the Rabbanan was regarding when there's only two trees, do you then own land, as we learned in our Mishnah, that same Machlekes, and then the Machlekes would be the same thing regarding the reading of the Parsha Bikurim. Now, actually, all these Pesukim that we brought, so they're expounded in the Sefriyim Sechts Bikurim in the first parak, so how do we actually learn it? Because now that we understand that you actually do have to own the land, so we're not interpreting exactly like Reb Yehuda Mishmuel had answered it, where they're being used to exclude other things. Now, however, on what we just quoted now in the Braisa, which refuted Reb Yehuda Mishmuel's interpretation, but Amalei B'Shim ben Al-Yakim L'Reb Elazar. He asked him, as we continue to Amad Beis, my time at Reb Meir be'ilon echad. How do we understand his opinion when there's one tree? And the question is, because as we just said, that even Reb Meir agrees in that case, he's not going to recite the Parsha Bikurim, because the Pasuk, and again we said, everyone, not like Reb Yehuda Mishmuel, everyone agrees that it says in the Pasuk, Asher Tavei Ma'artzecha, that you bring from your land, so therefore you can't recite the Parsha Bikurim. So then why do you bring the Bikurim, however? That of bringing should also be excluded from that pasuk, where if it's not from your land, because you only own one tree and you don't own any land, so why even bringing the Bikurim? And the same thing is difficult in my time of the Rabbanan, Mishnah Yilana. So how do we understand the opinion of Rabbanan that we quoted earlier from the Mishnah Masechet Bikurim, that they say by two trees, oh, you don't recite the Parashat Bikurim. But they said that you bring the Bikurim. Why you bring the Bikurim if it's not Me'artzecha? Because they hold by two trees, you also don't have any land. So Amalai, so he said to him, something that the earlier or earlier Talmid Chacham did not say a reason. You're going to ask me such a question in the study hall to embarrass me? How am I supposed to know? No one has ever said interpretation. You're asking me in front of everyone to say, oh, look, you don't know the answer? Amar Rabbah. Rabbah said that my question, why is it so difficult? Why Remeah holds by one tree, you bring, but you don't recite, and by the Rabbanan that you, by two trees, you bring, you don't recite. What's so difficult? Maybe Remeah, by one tree, he was in doubt if the one who bought the tree has land. And the same thing also by the Rabbanan, when someone buys two trees, they were also in doubt if, according to the law, the person has acquired rights in the land or not. Now, because although that the words they use is that, and as we find in our Mishnah, that loikonakarka, where the Chacham say clearly, no, two trees, you have not acquired land, and by Remeah also he says that you have not acquired land, that's only because of the halachas of mekech u'memker, of business dealings, where the hand of the seller is the stronger hand, because you can't take away from him out of doubt. He's the seller, and he's the muchzik on everything. You want to prove that this land? Go ahead and prove it. We don't know. We're not sure. But out of doubt, the situation would still require that you go ahead and bring bikurim, because it's a daraisa. You have to go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah. Now, reciting a parasha, we don't know, so therefore you can't go ahead and say it. But regarding the bringing, so out of doubt, you bring it. Why is it such a difficulty? Why? And that's basically what he's answering and explaining, that that's why you go ahead and bring it, because they were in doubt. Now, that the Gemara asks, Umi Masafkali, were they really in doubt? But Vogtani, we learned in that Bryce that we just quoted on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Remeah said that when you buy one tree, that you bring it, but you don't recite. Why? He says, Lefishaloi kona karka de Remeah. Says, because you have not acquired the land. How could you go ahead and say, Asher, that this is from the fruit of the tree, from the land that you've given me, when it's not his person's land? So you see that he has not acquired land. So it's like, no, Amos say, and that's what the understanding is, not even amending the words, is Shemaloi kona karka, because maybe he has not acquired land. So therefore, you can't go ahead and recite the psukim, because as we'll see at the end of the daf, that's like lying. This is the fruits of the land that you've given me. Who said he has land? But maybe it is land. So out of doubt, you have to go ahead and bring the fruits as bikurim. Now, but the Gemara asked now, based on this interpretation, that by one tree according to Remeah or two trees according to Rabbanan, that you don't recite because maybe it's not land, but you do bring because maybe it is his land. But with Leichish, you have to have the following concern. The Dilma la bikurim nino. Maybe, as we said, we're not sure. Maybe it's not bikurim, because maybe, according to Remeah with one tree, according to Chacham two trees, that he has not acquired the land. Now, if it's not really bikurim, v'kuma ayil chulin la zara, the part of the process of bikurim is that you bring it into the Beis HaMikdash. The problem with that is, if it's not really bikurim, it's not sanctified, it's just regular, unconsecrated produce, and you're bringing it into the courtyard. Now, the Gemara Darshans in the Sefri says in the Pasuk in Devarim Yud Bez, Ki Yirchak Mimcha HaMakom Mesavachta, that if the place is very far away from you, the Beis HaMikdash, then you slaughter your chulin in your own towns. Now, the Drasha tells us that, meaning to say when you're far away, then you go ahead and slaughter your own. But what that means to say is, but you cannot slaughter Bekiruv Makom when you're close, meaning in the Beis HaMikdash, your own chulin. And the same thing applies to bringing any chulin to Azar that's going to be Aser. So that's learned up from Psukim. Or you could actually say that the Isser of bringing Chulin to the Azar is actually rabbinic, where, because maybe people are going to see that this produce, whatever it is, whatever the Chulin that you're bringing into the Azar, that you're treating it as you do it regular Chulin, because that's actually what it is, but people are going to think that since you brought it into the Azar that it's Kachim, and they're going to see that person's acting with it in the degrading type of a fashion, and they're going to come to me, Mezalzel and Kachim, that's why you're not allowed to bring your Chulin to Azara. So whether it be biblically as a drasha or rabbinically, either way, you're not allowed to bring Chulin to the Azara. Now the problem is that this Suffolk Bikurim might not be Bikurim, and then you might be violating this either biblical or rabbinical violation of bringing Chulin to the Azara. Says the Gemara, not difficult, the Makdish Lahu. That what they do in this situation, according to Remeah again from the fruits of one tree that you bought, or according to Chacham, fruits of two trees that you bought, is that you sanctified on condition. If it's Bikurim, then fine, it's sanctified and you're bringing it into the Azara. If it's not, then you sanctify that to say, okay, then I'll go ahead and acquire from that value of those fruits a carbon. So either way, it's sanctified and you're allowed to bring it into the Azar. But that asks the Gemara, but how could you do that? But v'abayim mechlinu. But it has to be fed, the Bikurim are one of the matnas kahuna that goes to the Kayin. Now the problem is that since you're sanctifying it based on doubt, that maybe it's really not Bikurim, and therefore it's going to have monetary sanctity, and if the Kayin's going to go ahead and eat it because of doubt that it is Bikurim, he's going to be having Hanoah from Hektish, which even the Kayin can't, only those things that go to him, and he's going to be committing Me'ilah, misappropriation of Hektish. Says the Gemara, that's not difficult. First is the Parak Luhu. After that, the Bikurim, at least the Safik Bikurim, were placed in front of the Mizbech and they did what's called Tanufa, they lifted up. Then they go ahead and redeem those fruits where they transfer that sanctity onto other money, which that money is used to buy a carbon. And now these fruits are either way good, whether they're Bikurim or whether they're now Chulin. But the Gemara still asks, but Redim Allah Bikurim Ninu. Maybe, as we said, there's a Tzad, there's a Safik. Maybe it's not Bikurim. Now the problem is, you're going to be excluding it from its obligation of separating trumas and maisas. Because if it's not Bikurim, it's like regular chulun. And if you're not separating trumas and maisas, now why aren't you separating trumas and maisas? Because Bikurim actually has the same halacha like truma. As the pasuk says in Devarim Yud Beis, truma asyadacha, which Chazal Darshan, that's a reference to Bikurim. Now a person could actually make his whole field into Bikurim, as the Mishnah teaches Masechtas Bikurim, and then you're not going to be separating, you don't separate truma from truma. The truma itself is given to the kain, and you only have to be, that's the separating of the other part, which is tevel. Problem is that if you're giving this to the kain as bikurim, which is just like when you give truma, if it's not really bikurim, so it's like not really truma, it comes out that it is really tevel, which wasn't consecrated. You didn't separate my trumas and maisas from that itself that you're giving to him, which is a violation to eat untithed produce. Says the Gemara, that's not difficult. The Mafresh Lu, you're right, that they separate the Trumas and Maisras from that Bikurim, and then that's eaten by the appropriate parties, and then you can go ahead and eat the Bikurim. But that the Gemara asks, it might be Bikurim. If it's Bikurim, it has to be eaten only by the Kayin. So how are you separating from that Bikurim? Because maybe it's not Bikurim, Trumas and Maisras. So the Gemara says, Bishlemi Truma Gedayla, which is the primary truma. So that's very okay. You have lola kain. You'll give it to the kain who you're giving the bikurim to. It's okay. He can eat the truma of that if it's not bikurim and he's a kain. Maisa sheni nami. So too, the second tithing, which is in the first or the second year of the Shemitah cycle, that besides maisa rishon that you give to the Levi, the maisa sheni, it's eaten by the owner. So you have lola kain. So although it's eaten by the owner, which it might not be Bikurim, it might be the owner's, but you give it to the Kayin because the owner itself can't eat it because maybe it's Bikurim. So the Kayin that is given the Bikurim to will go ahead and eat it in the context of Maisa Sheni. Maisa Aninami, so too, if it's, let's say, the third year of the Shemitah cycle, which then that's the second tithe is not eaten by the owner, but rather it's given to the poor people. So Yavle Le Kayin Ani, so it'll be given to a poor Kayin. But Ella, the difficulty becomes is Maisa Rishon De Levihu. The first tithe, one-tenth of the produce, has to be given to a Levi. So Laman Yoavle, who are you going to give that to? And that is because we said out of doubt, it might be Bikurim. So it has to be given to the Kayin, and only the Kayin could eat it. But the problem is, we can't go ahead and do a rectification because of the doubt, which then might be stealing from the Levi, because it might be not Bikurim. And then a tenth of it is supposed to go to Levi. But the Levi can't eat it because it might be Bikurim. So what do we do in that regarding the Maaser Rishon? Says the Gemara, Diyavle Lekayin. It's not difficult. You're right, you'll give the Maaser Rishon to a Kayin and not to a Levi, as the Gemara explains in Masechta Ksubos and Perek Ishesh and Esarmelo, because we're going to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Tanakh, in the Braisa, the Tanakhama holds, Truma Gedayla Lekayin. The primary Truma goes to the Kayin, and Maaser Rishon, Levi, and the first tithe goes to Levi, that's to Rabbi Kiva. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he says, Maaser Rishon, and the Girsa takes out the word Af, Maaser Rishon is Lekayin. The first tithe goes to the Kayin. Now the Gemara there explains that it's talking about after that Ezra, when they came up at the times of the second base of Mikdash, penalized the Levim, because the Levim didn't come up. So they said that they're not getting the Maaser Rishon anymore. Now, moreover, it was understandable to Rabbi Elazar and Azariah that although the Pasuk says you have to give the Maaser Rishon to the Levim, that Kayhanim are included in that too. Because in 24 places we find that the Kayhanim are called Levim, so therefore it's not difficult what you can do in the Maaser Rishon. You'll give it to a Kayin too, because that's the halacha, you can give it to a Kayin, and actually after that point they actually only gave it to the Kayin and not to the Levim. But the Gemara still asks, the Dilma Bikurim, but maybe it is Bikurim. Ubayikriya, and it needs to have the reading of the parsha Bikurim. So how could you go ahead and eat from the Bikurim without having the parsha Bikurim said? We said you don't say it, as we'll shortly explain why you don't say it. So if you don't say it, but then how could you go ahead and consume the Bikurim, which is part and parcel of bringing the Bikurim, if you didn't go ahead and fulfill the bracha on it, which is the reading of the parsha Bikurim? Says the Gemara, Kri Lai Ma'keves. The recital of the parsha Bikurim does not withhold the validity of the actual bringing of the Bikurim. As the Gemara says in the last paragraph of Masechtas Makos, you could bring it even without and fulfill that mitzvah without reciting the parsha Bikurim. And that the Gemara says, V'loi, but is that not the case? What? The reading of the parsha Bikurim is not ma'akev the actual bringing of the Bikurim? But V'omre B'zeir said, and this is Torah Masechtas Menachos and Perakam Menachos, that if someone brings a nedava of a flour offering of 60 isarin, which is a certain measurement of flour for carbon mincha, and he brings it in one vessel. Now, if he says, meaning he could bring it in one vessel, but if he says, I'm bringing 61 isarinim, then what he has to do, says the Gemara over there, has to bring 60 in one vessel and the extra one in another vessel. Now, the Gemara there explains what's the reason for that. It's because 60 isarinim of flour could be mixed together very well with a log, which is the amount of measurement of oil that has to be had for the carbon mincha. But 61 isroinim cannot be mixed well. It's too condensed. It's not going to be able to be mixed well. Now the mother asks, what do you mean? Even if you don't mix it, what's the problem? The Mishnah teaches us that im loy bol kasher, if you don't mix it, it's still going to be kasher. So what's the problem? Why do you have to bring 60 in one and the other one and the other one? Even though you can't mix it well, even if you don't mix it, it's going to be kasher. Now that answers Reb Zeira, and he says, which our Gemara quotes, Kol haroy labilam, whatever's fit to be mixed, for example, when there's 60 esrainim, then if you don't mix it, then that's what the Gemara says, in bilam akebesboy. That's what Bezer says, then if you don't mix it, it's going to be kosher. But when you have 61 esrainim, which vishain roy labilam, which that is not even fit to be mixed, then bilam akebesboy, then actually the mixing does withhold the validity. In other words, what's not possible to be mixed, then that is mi'akev. And the reason for this is because since the pasuk says of a yitzuk aleha shemen that you should pour oil in it, and the Torah commands us that you have to mix the oil with the flour because it calls it a balula, a mixed flour offering. So obviously you can understand from the pasukim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded to bring a mincha, at least that it is possible to fulfill in it the mitzvah of mixing. Now the problem is when you bring 61 esrainim, such a mincha, Hashem did not command you to bring. Because it's almost like as if you brought a flour offering from kidney or some legumes, not from flour, which is nothing. Because everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded to bring, there is a withholding of the fulfillment and the primary obligation of bringing it exactly as the pasuk said, and not in any other way. Now the thing is, regarding certain components of the mitzvah, regarding to that mitzvah, for example, let's say by a carbon that you have to do tenufa, lifting it up, or by a mincha that you have to mix it, so there are some that are ma'akiv, if the Torah repeated it two times, and there are certain situations that are not ma'akiv. But the Gemara's question is that regarding Bikurim, it has to be at least ro labila, like we say the terminology. It has to be at least fit that you could do the Kriya, because Hashem said that this is a component. So even though it's not ma'akev if you don't do it, but at least it has to be a possibility that you could do it. And when you have, in this situation, there's no possibility of reciting the Parashat Bikurim because you don't know to be able to recite. Now, Rashbam says that although there are many cases, as we find in Mishnah Masechtas Bikurim in the first parak, that bring the Bikurim and don't recite the Bikurim, so why are we asking specifically on this halacha of our Gemara? So that says Rashbam, that's for example, let's say one of the halachas over there is by Iger, where if from its inception when he brings Bikurim, it's with the understanding that he's not going to recite the Parsha Bikurim. For example, let's say when someone brings after Sukkot until Chanukah, where when he brings the Bikurim and he does not recite the Parsha Bikurim, that's because it's learned that from Psukim, as it says in the Sefri. But regarding this Bikurim that we're talking about, where the person brings it out of doubt, when according to the Chama, when they bought with two trees, or according to the May, when they bought one tree, that maybe, it's just that we don't know. We don't know if he has the land or not. But maybe what's called Klapish Mayagalia, maybe biblically he has to go ahead and recite the Parsha Bikurim, because maybe he acquired land, and therefore it has to be at least fit that you could be able to recite the Parsha Bikurim, and it's not. So then how are you going to go ahead and bring it and eat it when you can't, because you have to at least have the feasibility of reciting the Parsha Bikurim, which we can't because we don't know. So says the Gemara, there's no problem. We can make it into one of those cases that we know for a fact that you don't recite the Parsha Bikurim, as we said, like by Ger and by when you bring it after Sukkot's time, and therefore then there's no, it doesn't have to be row for the Kriya of Bikurim. because the Avadluk Rabbi Yisrael B'Chanina will do to it like the halacha of Rabbi Yisrael B'Chanina. The Amad that he says the following two halachas. He says, B'tzaron b'shigaron b'yad shlich. If someone plucked his fruits, and then, after he did that, then he sent it to Yerushalayim with an agent. Or, umei shlich b'derech, or a different case where, let's say the shlich himself went and picked the fruits, and then he died halfway through the journey, and then they appointed another shlich in his place to bring it to Yerushalayim, or even if the owner himself went and then took over halfway, heard, oh, my agent died, he went to take over and brought it the second half. Says Rabbi Yisrael B'Chanina, maybe the ein kaira, he brings the Bikurim, but he does not recite the parasha of Bikurim, as the Gemara explains. My time, what's the reason? Nachsiv, because the pasuk in the Devarim says, Vilokachta, that you take, as the pasuk there says, Mereshis kol pri adamah, from the first of all the fruits of your land, Ashatavi, that you'll bring. Now, this word Vilokachta is superfluous, because really what it should have said, not that you should take, but it should have said, Vehevesa, that you'll bring from your land, because why say about the taking? If you're bringing it, obviously you took it from your land. So rather expounds Rabbi Yisrael B'Chanina that when someone that is someone who takes it, that's why it says v'lakachta, which is the one who picks it, is because he's the one that has to go ahead and bring it, because we need, as the Gemara continues at the top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph, ashtei l'kicha v'avo ke'echad, until the taking, meaning the plucking and the bringing, all the way up to Yerushalayim, has to be with one person. Now therefore, in the case of like Rabbi Yisrael B'Chanina, when he picked it and the shliach brought it, or if let's say the shliach picked it and brought it but died halfway and then someone else brings it the second half, v'aleka, in these two situations, you didn't have the picking and the bringing with two people. Now, the same thing is, as we said, when if he dies halfway, then the taking and the bringing wasn't all with one people. Now, as Rashbam points out, however, if let's say the shliach picked it and brought it all the way to Yerushalayim all by himself, then the owner would recite the parasha of Bikurim, although he didn't bring it, because that's based on the halacha concept of shluch shalom kemaisa, the agent is like him himself, and then he could say, he nehevesi, that I brought it. But the shliach himself, he says, cannot recite the parasha Bikurim, even if he did everything himself, as the Mishnah teaches Masechet Bikurim, because he cannot say the words, Hashem nasati li Hashem, that Hashem gave me, because it's not me, it's my master. Now, therefore, says the Gemara, the same thing is over here. What we're going to do is that the owner is going to pick it, meaning in this suffix, when he bought only one tree according to Rebbe Meir or two trees according to Rabbanan, and he's going to send it through an agent where that, from its inception, exempts him from the recital of the Parashat Bikurim, and therefore there's no problem about, oh, but maybe he needs create. It doesn't. In such a situation, there's no v'lakachta v'evesa, and therefore that exempts him totally. And more of the Rashbam says, don't ask, so then he should be exempt from Avah, because that is has Kedusha from the Karka, as the Mishnah teaches Masechet Bikurim. It's just regarding the recital, is V'lakachta V'Hevesa. That's where we're saying that when there's two different people, then you don't recite it, and therefore in this situation, that takes care of the problem about that at least has to be Rofakri. It's not. This is like Ger or after Sukkot, when there's no obligation at all of reciting the Parashat Bikurim. Now, however, the Gemara continues asking, says, Amalir of Acha Bereder of Avila Ravashi. It says, Mechti, let's see. Psukinin, what is already this big reading of the Parashat Bikurim? It's Psukim. Salikri, let him just recite, say those words. In other words, why did we have to answer that, oh, what are you going to do? You have the Parashat Bikurim, at least it has to be Ro, and you can't be Ro because you can't say it. So therefore you have to do it like Rabbi Yisrael B'Chanina said, that to make it that you can't even say it. Why not? Why, just like you bring it out of Safik, so you should recite, say the Parashat out of Safik, like someone who's reading from the Torah. It's written in the Torah, the parasha that he says, to just read it. What's the big deal? Amaleis, and that he responded, that Mishum de Mechzik is Sheker, because it looks like a lie. Because why is he reciting this? Not just happen to be Shnai Mikra up to those words in the Torah. It's because he's bringing the Bikurim that he's reciting these words, but maybe it wasn't his land that it grew in, and he's lying. And the Pasuk says in Tehillim Kaf Aleph, David Shekarm lo yichin l'negedein, Hashem doesn't want to see those who speak lies. And it looks like you're lying because you're reciting it, you're making it seem like as if it's your land, and maybe it's not really your land. Now, right, generally when someone's reading from the Torah, that doesn't look like a lie. So reading in the Torah in the shul, that doesn't look like a lie, but you happen to be bringing it now and saying those words, that looks like a lie. A different answer of Mishash Shabri Dav Chiyam, he says a different reason, is Dimmel, because maybe if somebody sees this person reading the Parashat Bikurim, it seems like it's definite Bikurim. And the problem is, if someone else is going to have the same situation, where let's say he has only bought one tree according to Rebbe Meir or two trees according to Rabbanan, Asilavka inu mitruma maisa. He's going to come to exclude them from its obligation of trumas and maises. He's not going to separate trumas and maises like in this situation when he bought one tree or kondraban two trees, because he's going to think, hey, I saw that guy reading the Parsha Bikurim. Obviously, it's definite Bikurim. And therefore, we don't have him recite the Parsha Bikurim. That people can tell that, oh, that wasn't definite Bikurim because he also would have recited. And therefore, he'll know to separate trumas and maises from his own doubtful purchase of one tree or two trees according to Rabbanan. Or actually, says Rashbam, this answer of Meshash Rebbe Devchiyah could even be in the person himself, where if he goes ahead and he recites Parsha Bikurim, they say, oh yeah, right, read. He said, reading? Oh, must be it's a definite Bikurim. He's not going to separate Trumas and Maises, and therefore we do some type of a differentiation that not to recite. You say, hey, why am I not reciting? Oh, because it's a Suffolk. Oh, it's a Suffolk. Oh, that means to say I should ask the rabbi, maybe he needs to take off Trumas and Maises. And they'll say, yes, take off Trumas and Maises, because it might not be Bikurim. And therefore, those are the two reasons why we said that you cannot just recite the Parsha Bikurim. And that's why we have to come on to like Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanina, where you have to come on to a way to go ahead and avoid the obligation totally, because if you have that Suffolk and it's not Roy at all, then actually you can't bring the Bikurim to have the Kohen eat it, because it has to at least be, like we said from Rabbi Zera, Ro Labila, where in this context has to at least be Ro for the reading of the Parsha Bikurim. And therefore we do a situation to totally avoid that obligation.